Many public schools are beginning to remove the soft drink and snack machines that line the hallways. Childhood obesity is at record levels, and health officials are concerned about the well-being of the nation's next generation. But what about your child's mind? If we raise children on emotional and intellectual junk food, the result is that they will be intellectually and emotionally sick. Join us as we explore how to help your children become more intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually healthy on Beyond Today.
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
There is a national concern about the general health of our children. Obesity and lack of exercise among children is leading to a health crisis. Another health crisis is affecting the emotional and mental health of our children, a crisis that is in many ways being ignored or even promoted by society. This crisis involves the next generation's mental and emotional health. Our children are at risk, but as a parent or grandparent, you can make a major difference in their lives. To discuss how our children are at risk and what we can do about it, we are joined by author and pastor Larry Greider and a pastor who worked many years in education, Andy Burnett. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
You know, Larry, you have a unique approach to this in that not only are you a pastor and a father, but you also direct summer camps all over the United States that work with teaching Christian character to young people. So let me ask you this question. What do you see as the greatest risk confronting the emotional and mental development of children today?
It has to be about family and that sense of community that God intended in a natural family. Recent U.S. Census figures indicate approximately one out of every four child that would grow up in this country will be without a father, and half will be raised in a one-parent family at some point.
Wow.
And add to that fact that a third of the American babies are born out of wedlock. Statistically, half of all American children under the age of 18 will live in a single-parent home at some point in their life. Currently, about a fifth of the Canadian and the South African children live with just one parent as well, and Britain, France, and Germany are not far behind. So obviously that is a huge problem, because God intended that there be a sense of community and even an extended family with grandparents and nephews and nieces and cousins. And if you have a community where they have the shared beliefs, then you get support and encouragement.
You know, that is a frightening figure, that a third of children are born out of wedlock, because that almost guarantees more poverty and lack of education, and just statistics show that. And that's a frightening statistic.
It is.
Now, Andy, your background is, before you became a pastor, you worked in the educational field.
Yes, I worked as an instructor at a university for 9 years, a Christian university, and then went into public education and was a high school principal for 5 years in a small rural community in southern Oregon.
So from that viewpoint, what do you see as the greatest risk involving the emotional and mental development of our children?
A couple of things. One is in the area of this developing of emotional maturity. In my experience, it seems as years have gone past, more and more people, as they're reaching adult age physically, are not in the position to make the kinds of decisions that they need to make because of an emotional immaturity that's in place. Secondly, what we're seeing in the homes and in society is an instruction in wrong moral values, and in some cases, no moral values at all. A situation that we see pervasive in society today is this concept of moral relativism. You do what you want to do, and that's fine with me, but just don't get into my space and let me do what I want to do. So kids are growing up in that kind of an environment that creates a difficult background for them to go out and be successful in society.
Now, generally, what are the public school systems doing to deal with this? I know the public school systems are under a lot of criticism. What are they doing to deal with these problems?
Well, it depends upon the specific school district. It depends upon the state or the province in which the school district exists, the school boards, what their emphasis is, the emphasis of the administration, and then it goes into even each individual classroom or what each teacher's background is. But all of these factors play into what occurs in that setting. doing. Embedded in many school curricula across the country are topics such as integrity, honesty, character-based values. It really depends upon the specific school district and what they choose to emphasize. Some emphasize acceptance, tolerance. It varies.
It varies. What do you think some of the impact the school systems are having on the development of children?
You know, it's not always about the school system. I think there is an awful lot the schools can do and are doing, frankly, but it really has to go back to the parents in the home, as we stated earlier, that parents have to take responsibility so that they can prepare their children so they can learn when they get to school. And frankly, we have an amazing time in history to be alive with so many opportunities available. I mean, the bedazzling array of the technology. But sadly, so much of that is experienced without parents looking over the shoulders of their children. So I feel that it is a kind of a two-sided issue. We have to get children prepared by parents who give them a good foundation, and then for the school system to be able to support the parents.
Now, really, when you get down to what we're talking about, the problem in the public school system are many symptoms of something you just mentioned, that you were talking about parents preparing their children. Mm-hmm. How much important or more important is the family unit and the public school system?
Well, I think nearly all of us can cite one or two teachers, a coach or two who made a positive impact on our lives, emotionally, intellectually, and all of those are important. But even in the public school system, you talk with kindergarten teachers, they'll tell you every year, each student that comes in progressively is coming in less and less equipped to be able to handle the rigors of academic life, the changes in the social atmosphere of their lives, and this is a frustration with schools, and they're dealing with what they get. The other factor that we can't negate is that school districts and teachers, administrators, all of them reflect the cultural mores of society, and often that comes into conflict with what is appropriate in God's eyes.
You know, I think there was a time when we looked on the public school system as a way of preparing children to move into a society that had a general concept of values that was similar. But now we see a school system that's basically under attack from society, and it's reflecting society more than preparing people for the old society. I mean, there's a major change going on here in education.
Oh, certainly. Certainly is occurring across the board in education.
And so we're back to the family again.
That's right.
We're back to the roles of parents in developing children. I've talked to teachers that have said one of the biggest problems they have is that children coming into the classroom are so disruptive that they can't teach. They spend more and more of their time actually dealing with the problems. Now, did you find this kind of problem when you were a principal?
Well, often that was the case. Teachers talked of the frustration of having nearly as many as one-fourth of their classroom that are struggling with a learning disability, some type of an emotional disability. So the teacher has the requirements of meeting the curriculum, yet also dealing with classroom management issues that are huge, that directly impede what they're trying to get done in the classroom. So it's a tremendous challenge for the teachers as they go through their professional experience.
So in many ways we can say that the public school problems, and I think there's a general belief that there's a breakdown in the public school system in many ways in this country, but those breakdowns are not inherited in the system as much as they may be inherited in the family problems. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yes. Also the separation of church and state, you know, that happened several decades ago, almost targeted schools to make sure there wasn't this Christian morality that had to be the kind of morality that was had political correctness to it. So that's part of the problem as well.
You need to prepare your children for life. And we're going to give you some important information on how you can do that right after this.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families from the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Read What Always Works. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Build stability, warmth, and love into all your relationships with this step-by-step guide to the lifestyle of family success. know the secrets of what to do at each season of your children's development, and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
Welcome back to Beyond Today. Be sure and order your free copy of Marriage and Family. And you can also go online and read it or order it yourself at beyondtoday.tv. And at that website, we have a number of programs we've done on a lot of different subjects, including some very important programs on this subject of parenting and child rearing. So be sure and go online and watch the programs. At times it has been said that the purpose of parenting is to prepare a child to grow up and leave. You know, in many ways that's true. The purpose of parenting is to prepare our children to function as God-fearing, productive adults who develop and use their own talents and abilities. Before the break, we were discussing with Pastor and former public school principal Andy Burnett, an author and pastor, and summer camp director Larry Greider, about the failure of the educational system to properly prepare children for moral thinking. Andy, why do you think that the educational system has failed in teaching moral thinking to our children?
Well, again, Gary, I don't want to place the blame on public education for that. I think it's very clear in God's Word that God holds parents accountable for that responsibility. I want to read from Deuteronomy 6 a quote that is listed here as God talks to the children of Israel. He says in verse 7 of chapter 6, "You shall teach them diligently," these principles of God's Word, "you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." God very clearly places the emphasis and the responsibility of teaching our children upon the parents. And parents are not to shirk away from that responsibility. The schools are going to reflect the mores of society, where God says you as a parent are responsible for teaching them God's way.
The model here is that you use everyday experiences as kind of little windows of opportunity to teach your children when they want to know something. And oftentimes, maybe when you're prepared to give them the lecture, you know, they just could care less. But maybe when they have something on their mind, they need to know something, or they're struggling with something.
And it comes out of nowhere.
Oh, it does.
You're never quite prepared for when it comes. It's not when you want it to come as a parent.
Right. It's a great model. It works at camp, but I think it has to start in the home, and that example has to be there first.
See, I think this is very important in that we have to realize in a democracy, the educational system is, as you had said, going to reflect always sort of the times that you live in. The real foundation for moral thinking starts at home and carries them through that, because children are going to be exposed to all different kinds of ideas, all different concepts of morality. But if it doesn't start at home, we're throwing them into just a hodgepodge, right, of things that whirl around where they pick up bits and pieces of it. And, of course, the school district is going to basically reflect a secular society. So once again, we keep moving this responsibility back, because I really do think there's too many people expecting the school system to teach moral thinking. But it's just not going to happen there in the way that it does from the family, right?
It really can't in our modern kind of postmodern world, because if you ever said that this is an absolute value, you'd be challenged by any number of groups of people. So it's up to the parents, as we've been discussing, to prepare their children so that when they hear these various things that are offered to them in the school environment, that they can determine what is right and wrong according to an absolute set of values that comes right out of this book here, the Word of God.
Well, the three of us have had a lot of experience at a lot of different levels, whether it be a principal, camp director, pastor, where we do a lot of counseling. But we're also, the three of us have been parents.
Right.
Where do we start as parents in beginning to prepare our children for society and the influences that they're going to face at school?
Yeah, I can remember seeing my father praying when I was a young boy, and I loved, respect my father and thought he knew everything, but to see him literally asking for help and guidance, you know, to live his life, made quite a profound impact on me that, you know, I need to get help and advice and I can go to my father. And in reality, this whole paradigm of parenthood and family is critical to society. And remember, we talked about how so few young people today have the privilege and the benefit of growing up with their biological mom and dad. They say one in three by the time they're 18 will have both their biological mother and father in their home.
That means two out of three won't.
Two out of three won't.
Wow.
Well, parents must assert themselves as the primary influence in the home. They have to do that. They have to accept that is a God-given responsibility to them. And from that, build their interactions with their children based on that concept. Parents cannot shirk that responsibility. It is given to them. And as they build that strong relational influence with their children, they begin to be able to build in them the ability to make the right decisions.
When we think about moral thinking and teaching children to think, I think the best place to start is probably the Ten Commandments. And we start with that fifth commandment, which is to honor your mother and your father.
Correct. And prior to that, we have the first four commandments, which lead us towards following God, and the last five, which lead us towards working with our neighbor and handling ourselves appropriately with our neighbor. So right in the middle of that is this statement of honoring your father and mother, that your days may be long. God wants us to develop that relationship with our parents, that our parents should have
And that's very important. That's very important that here you have how to love God, how to interact with society, and right in the middle, the basis of society, which is the family. So it's very important that God put that fifth commandment there. I mean, it's not there by accident. He wants it there for us.
Not at all. Parents must realize that it is, again, their responsibility before God to take that by the horns and go with it.
We have about 30 seconds before a break here, but explain a little bit of what you would say are the foundations of moral thinking.
The Bible, going back to the book that claims to be the absolute about life. God created life and He gave it to us, and He gave it to us in a family environment. So really, if our children are at risk, as we say they are, maybe the greatest risk is that they're getting further and further away from the absolutes and the values that the Bible gives to them to guarantee their happiness and their success in life.
How can you teach your children moral thinking? We'll be back to talk about that right after this.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families from the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Explaining the meaning of human genetics is just another way the Good News Magazine informs with understanding you can't get anywhere else. It shows the brilliant design of the mind behind the universe. Another issue features the latest biblical research showing Jesus taught heaven is coming to the earth. Call for your free subscription toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv.
Welcome back to Beyond Today. And when you order the booklet that we're offering today, we'll also send you a free subscription to The Good News. You'll get 6 copies a year. It's absolutely free. It's a fantastic magazine. And I just personally want to tell you to please get your copy. You can go online or you can call the toll-free number we've given you, and we'll send this to you free of charge. How can we develop moral thinking in our children? In the last segment, we discussed some basic concepts of moral thinking. How do we take those concepts and turn them into practical teaching tools? Andy, how do we do that?
Well, first off, with parents, they have to model that behavior. We know that their example is the greatest example that a child can learn from. In order to be able to model that behavior, first off, they have to understand what the appropriate behaviors are. They have to believe that they should emulate those behaviors, and then they have to do that. So if a parent is not modeling the appropriate behavior that they should, you're going to have problems. You see an incongruity with the child as far as figuring out what he or she is supposed to do.
So we can say that many child-rearing problems are actual parental problems? I mean, we wouldn't go that far, but it is, isn't it?
Well, there's a lot of moralizing that goes on in our society, but usually it's moralizing from a politically correct perspective where you can't say somebody's actually wrong. And I feel that that's where this Deuteronomy 6 approach is. When somebody is dealing with an issue, maybe something they've heard at school or they've dealt with something with a peer, and they come to you, you give them context to what the Bible says about that, which also includes some cause and effect, where they learn that there are right things to do and wrong things that a man or person could do. Things are right and wrong, and I think that's how they get that encouragement but from their parents.
The concept of biblical authority is something that in a democracy is sometimes very hard to understand. But let's look at concepts of morality, right and wrong. I mean, if you go through different societies, there's different concepts of right and wrong. I mean, there are certain Native American societies where it was wrong to steal from the tribe that you're in, but it was okay from the steal from the neighboring tribe. And so when we look at this as Christians, we have a book, we have a place we go to where there are concrete concepts and say, okay, the Bible is then the authority, the basis of how the Creator wants us to live. And that's what we have to teach our children, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the Bible is this basis. How do we start with that? Where do we take the Bible?
Well, I think of an example in the book of 1 Kings, where here King David, the king of Israel, who was noted as being a man after God's own heart, here he was at the end of his days, and he talked to his son Solomon, who was going to be assuming his throne. And he stated to him very clearly, Solomon, keep God's statutes, keep God's laws, keep God's commands, and do that with all your heart. That is the essence of beginning to develop moral thinking, is to say there is a higher power that has these values established that will produce happiness and success in life. And it is a parent's responsibility to help teach that to that child.
Okay, so we go to the child and we say there's God, he has all these rules and all these regulations, and this is how you're supposed to live your life. Now, how do we get across to children, though, the concept that God isn't trying to take away all their fun?
Fun? Well, what is fun? Real fun is what is fun today and tomorrow and the day after that. There's a great proverb, folly is joy to a man destitute of discernment. But where do you get discernment of what is joy and what is fun? I mean, how would you know which is going to last forever or what is going to come back and bite you? Well, again, that takes you back to parents who have a good grounding in the Word of God and teach these lessons on a daily basis. That's how you prepare your children to live in a very risky world.
Andy?
God's way produces happiness, and it is in the family setting that the child sees that happening. If the parents are living God's way of life, if they're following His statutes, His commands, His teachings, and living that, the child then sees that. Yes, God's way works. God's way is fun. God's way is a way of blessing. And then it naturally begins to become a part of that person's life. Just like, as we read earlier in Deuteronomy 6, we have to have that influence on them in every facet of their life. And when we sit up, when we lie down, when we walk by the way, they need to see that package. And as they see that package, they say, I want this way too. This is going to give me happiness.
Yeah, I can remember as a child, my parents, just the way they lived, the way they taught us, was that God was the source of good things. And God's instructions were to keep us from having bad things happen to us or bad times. And when we did something wrong, even though there might be a punishment or there was a bad consequence, there was always this idea that God loves you, God will take you back, that God wants to give you good things. This is why He tells you not to do those things. And I think this, the concept of having children be able to learn that God loves them, that God's instructions are for their good, is so important. Do you have any similar experience in your lives?
Well, we're really talking about the ideal where we have this wonderful father and mother who are grounded in the truth, and they share that and teach that on a daily basis. But let's face it, guys, you know, there's an awful lot of people out there that are not going to grow up in a family like that. We've read the statistics that only maybe a third will grow up
and
with
their... And those people right now are saying, well, that's nice for you all. You had a decent chance at life. My kids don't have that. So that...
Well, but the beauty is what you were talking about, that you can have a relationship with God through the pages of the Holy Bible, and you can learn these absolutes and these values. It'd be so great if you had a caring, loving mother, father in your home to guide you. But our great God is also our Father, and is willing to help us and teach us.
You know, there's a lot of women Most single parents are women. And here they are trying to raise children without fathers. And I think the concept of being able to say that you do have a father.
Right.
You have a creator that is biologically created all of us. And that creator is there for you, and he loves you, and he wants to teach you about life. And I think for a lot of mothers out there that deal with this, and it's so hard for them, the realization to teach a child, especially a small child, grabs hold of that concept that God is my father. I think that's such an important thing they can teach them. Okay, as parents then, how do we turn the hearts and minds of children to God as a father and to Jesus Christ as a brother? Larry, how do we do that?
Well, that's certainly the challenge, isn't it? Because even in the very last chapter of the book of Malachi, which ends the Old Testament, it says, if you don't turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, then God will smite the earth with utter destruction. I mean, that's pretty serious. So this is a matter of grave import. And I think, again, we need this sense of community where we can help each other and teach each other, but first of all, know that there are absolutes, there are values, children are at risk, and we all have to take ownership of the problem.
Andy?
Especially for parents, not to run away from that accountability that God holds them responsible for raising their children. Having said that, it is the responsibility of the parents, as it says in Ephesians 6, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They can only do that in a complete packaged way if they've developed a strong relationship with their child.
And with God.
And with God. Right. It's all a package. When one is good but the other is absent, that has a negative effect on the child. So it has to be that package that must come together. And the child then as he's developed this strong relationship with his parents, as his parents have developed that strong relationship with God, he begins to see the connection that takes place in God's way working in his life.
They model that behavior. We'll be back with some closing comments right after this.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families from the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
Let the public school system educate your child without parental involvement. Let them watch sex-laden music videos and movies filled with unbridled violence. Ignore talking and modeling the fundamental ideals of morality, or teaching them about their created purpose as children of God, and expect mental and emotional sickness. You can make a difference. You can stand against the secular tide that wants to turn the hearts and minds of our children to the emptiness of selfishness and faith in meaningless evolution. There is a future for your Creator that your Creator has for them, and you can help them discover that future. But first, you have to let God show you your future. He has one for you. Ask God to help you begin that journey. We want to thank Larry Greider and Andy Burnett for joining us today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Gary.
When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today. And thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.